Okay, girls, let's get started. One thing I want to remind y'all of, now y'all, I know all of y'all like the outdoors and love your yards and have beautiful gardens. And did you know that in October, the shadows are different? And if nobody has enjoyed October shadows, you need to get out there and enjoy them. Of course, you know the harvest moon is on its way also. And that is fabulous. And if your grandchildren don't know about it, or your children, be sure they get out. I don't know the date, but you can't miss it if you're just paying attention, because it is like daylight at night, and it is such a special time, I think, of the year, and it's something that God only gives us that one short time. And so be sure to remind your children, and for you to enjoy the harvest moon, and to go out in the middle of the day and in the mornings and enjoy the fall shadows, the October shadows. Okay. This morning, let's remember in our prayer time, Sylvia is going to have gallbladder surgery next week, next Tuesday, I believe. And so we just need to remember her. You know, she's had lots of things, and this is... whatever, you know, Sylvia, whatever the Lord gives her, whatever he puts on her plate, she welcomes it and handles it and thanks him for it. And so we certainly have that to be thankful for in her as we enjoy her friendship. So let's do remember Sylvia. All right. That's next Tuesday. Yes, it's scheduled.
She's still in a lot of pain and nausea.
I think so. I think she's been pretty uncomfortable. So anyway, I think she's through with all of her tests and set for next week. And she's going to have it here in town, the hospital, of course. Okay.
She has a lot of weight she can lose.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, she's certainly small. But anyway, let's remember Sylvia and that. Okay, that's all that I know of. We still look forward to Margie Newman. I ran into her at the store the other day. She came by and... she's excited about coming, and so y'all be sure, you know, that morning I would encourage you to invite anyone who just wants to hear a wonderful speaker early in the morning. She'll be a delight when she comes, and that's toward the end of the month. Okay, let's open with prayer. Father, we do thank you for this fall weather that you have given us and for the beauty of it. And Father, we do thank you for the different shadows and for the harvest moon and for the beauty of the fall gardens, and Lord, the sides of the highways, the roadways, the byways, Father, they are so beautiful, and they are from your hand. And so I just encourage and ask you to keep us mindful of the beauty around us, and to remind our children and those whom we're around that they might enjoy it also and learn about it at an early age so that they would enjoy it all of their days. Lord, I thank you for these women that come early in the morning and for the hour we spend, Father, looking to you. And Lord, I thank you for the teachers and for the time they've spent in preparation. I thank you for each one of them, the ones who have already spoken and the ones who are coming up in the next weeks. Lord, I just ask that you would bless them in a mighty way. This morning, Father, I thank you for Judy, who's about to come, and I pray also for Judy Pometry, who will teach us next week. I pray that you would be with her this week as she prepares. Father, again, I thank you for loving us and for putting your arms around us and holding us close to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Judy Bale.
Are those her questions? They are. I didn't think I had that.
I don't know the answers to all that.
Okay. Let me get my questions in here. All right, friends and neighbors, we all have those, don't we? We're going to do something just a little bit different today. I've got some, well, first of all, I thought it was interesting about this thing. It says, interestingly enough, the Hebrew word commonly translated friend is often translated neighbor as well, depending on the context. So what kind of is your off-the-cuff definition of a friend, Maureen?
I'm glad you're my friend, Judy. I can't wait for the friend, Judy, now. good one. No, someone that you can confide in, someone that that is there for you through thick and thin.
Okay. I remember when Al was in kindergarten at the Baptist church. He didn't tell me this. One of the teachers told me this. They were talking about, it may have been Bible school. They were talking about friends and that Jesus is your best friend. And John Darrell said, Al Bell is my best friend. I've never forgotten that. And they're still friends, I'm telling you. So, but a friend is just exactly what Maureen said, but if you look at all the scripture and everything, a friend and neighbor is more than that. It doesn't have to be somebody that you're really close to. And the last time I had a lesson here, we talked about spiritual friends and how important they are. Anna, how important is a spiritual friend?
It's most important because, just like the scriptures say, I like the thing about the iron sharpens iron and a friend sharpens a friend. Well, that's a spiritual friend.
Right.
You've got somebody, they're going to keep you moving towards the heavenly goal.
And when you, there's another verse that goes along with that that I did not, and I know that's one of y'all's things, Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. A friend does that too, and that goes along with iron sharpening iron. That's one of y'all's verses we'll be talking about. So when you think about sharpening, you think about contact, don't you? And when you're filing something and making it sharp, you have to get a file, and there are rough edges that when they rub together, it's smooth. Okay, I've got some verses here. Remembering that friend and neighbor in the Hebrew are the same a lot of times. Leviticus 19, this is just a smattering of the verses about neighbors. Leviticus 19:18 says, don't seek revenge or bear a grudge. Love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 19:19, love your neighbor as yourself. Mark 12:31, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Luke 10:27 says the same thing. Romans 13:9, the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and all the rest of the commandments say, love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, if you look at the Ten Commandments, 6 out of the 10 have to do with your relationship with your fellow man. The other 4 commandments have to do with your relationship with God. Okay. Galatians 5:14, the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. And this was a footnote that went with that. Doing to others what you would have them do to you expresses the spirit and intention of the law of prophets. So, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's a lot. All right? If you really, James 2:8, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, which is love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. And that footnote said, the law of love is called the royal law. The law of love is the royal law because it is a supreme law, that it's the source of all other laws governing human relationships. Philippians 2:3-4, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. That's a great verse. All right, so when we think of friends and neighbors, when we think of neighbors, who do we automatically think of, Andrew?
People next door.
Right, people that live in front of you, side of you, back of you. But is that who your neighbors are? Really so much more than that. In Luke 10, talks about the Good Samaritan. I want to read you that story. Y'all be thinking as you listen. All right, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. He said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" And the man said, "Love the Lord your God." We just read this verse. "With all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, the man did, so he said, "Well, who is my neighbor?" This is what we do so many times, the way we govern every day and what we do. We always think that we're doing right. We're doing as much as we can. But that's not true. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead." A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He had compassion on him. He actually stopped and put his hands on him. He took part of his day. He spent time on the man. Did he know the man? No. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil on and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." The man went to extreme measures there for somebody he didn't even know. He spent his time and his money, and he cared for the man. And even after he left, he was still going back to check on him because he was concerned about him. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." So, who needs our love and attention? A lonely person? A visitor in church? How many times? Well, I know sitting in the choir, we see everybody that comes in. We see people we don't know. And they go, and a lot of times they sit by themselves, don't they? An unfriendly neighbor needs our love and attention. The parent of a child who's unruly, or even the parents of the children that your children know, need a friend. Who else can you think of that I've left out needs a friend? The sick do. There is always somebody that needs our attention, but a lot of times we are too busy tending to our own needs and the needs of our family that we hardly have time for somebody else. Every now and then we do, we'll stop or do that. But the world is full of people. When we step out in the hall, when we get through with this Bible study, you don't have to look very far to find somebody that needs you. Alright, there are needy people everywhere. We need to just pay attention. It may be in the checkout line at the grocery store. There are people who are hurting. They're just people who need a friend. And, of course, I know there are more than just Presbyterians in here, but we need to be known as people who care about other people. Sometimes we get so absorbed in what we're doing, in our troubles. I know somebody told me one time, said, "I'm bored." I thought, "They're what?" I'm telling you, I don't even know what the word bored means, because there is something, there's always something or somebody to tend to. And board shouldn't even be in on your in your vocabulary. Mm-hmm. And I also heard somebody else say that if you are feeling sorry for yourself, then what's the best thing to do? Go visit somebody. You get your mind off yourself, and you'll be doing two good things. That's all I have. But I think that this is something that, I'll tell you this. When my mother was over in the Atwood home, those people over there or in a nursing home or confined to their own homes are so thirsty for friends, visits. And I tell you who they love to have is children.
They're also hungry for physical touch.
That was one of my things here. I've heard that somebody, a person, me, needs a touch or a hug, even if it's, I think it's like 10 times a day. 10 times a day. Yes.
People. We all need to go up there and hug Christy right now.
But, think about that. People, a look is good, but a touch is so much better. I mean, it's a healing thing that says to them, I love you. I care about you. And if you
read in that blog, Lauren's blog, one time, she mentioned the fact that Jennifer is not a hug like the rest of them are, and she's not. And, now, she may become
one, I don't know.
But
she sees
how important it is. Yeah, I know she's now experiencing more physical contact than she probably ever has.
And it probably will change her. Probably will.
I thought it said she couldn't because... Oh, just the ones in the room are... Okay, so they're just two or three in there. Okay.
So... Be thinking, always think about that. We can get so wrapped up in ourselves. And you know what that is? We're being selfish, and that's pride. Pride. Being selfish is pride. And what does it say? God, what is his thoughts and ideas on pride? Yeah. Pride comes before the fall, and he hates pride. He hates it when we're so absorbed in ourselves and our troubles, and we all have them. But if we just get all bogged down, and if we are a sponge and we just soak up all our troubles, we don't have any room for anybody else. That's not the way he wants us. He wants us humble before he can do anything with us. And it's so important. And it's important that you teach your children and your grandchildren that. So it's important for you, but it's important for children to learn that. If you see somebody in church that's sitting by there, go sit by them or send one of your children over there. They'll just dissolve. It's just little things like that that mean so much. You can go to your class, to your group.
You can hang up now.
Yeah.
Was
that close?